WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, and welcome into the first day of our Money Talks contest. That's right. Starting today, you'll have 10 codes every day, one every hour starting at 8 a.m., 10 chances to try to win $1,000. So when you hear that code, you just go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app, and you enter that in on the Money Talks page, and when you get there, you'll see that there's also the chance to earn some extra entries too. If you haven't, you know, subscribed to our newsletter and followed us on social media and things like that. But every one of those codes that you enter in for the next few weeks as this program is going on, that this contest is going on, every single time, that's an entry for a shot to try to win $1,000. Except for the last two Thursdays of the contest are going to be $10,000 Thursdays. And on those days, we're going to give away 10 grand. So all you've got to do is just what you're already doing. Keep listening. And when you hear those codes, as I was mentioning yesterday, you don't have to put them in right away. Those boxes stay open throughout the day to enter the codes. So if you are in the car, just, you know, remember it, write it down, whatever you got to do is send yourself a voice note. And then when you have a chance to enter the codes in, you can do it. You just got to get them in by the end of the day. We found that that's a better plan than doing it every hour and having people have to rush. And so this way here, you can collect them all and have a chance at $1,000. And we want to thank our great sponsors for helping us make the Money Talk. That's Carter's Clothing, Morgan's Cantina, and Allegiant Airlines. And if you are a local business and you'd like to get involved in this contest that gets everybody buzzing, well, we still have some room for you. Reach out to me, Tim at WBSM.com. We'll make it happen. We also have a lot of other things that we can discuss this morning. The story that I was working on last night, I was here kind of late, as usual, last night. But the story that I was working on is one that I think will matter to this audience because, oh, well, you know, it's not every day that WBSM and Chris McCarthy and an article that I've written are all mentioned in a formal ruling by the Attorney General's office of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but the New Bedford City Council has been found to be in violation of the open meeting law as a result of the discussions that were happening about the longevity pay. Now, if you remember, when this story first came to the airwaves, it was because someone came to Chris McCarthy and said, you know, you need to know about what's going on here with the council, what a couple of councilors are trying to get going here. And honestly, until this happened, I don't think any of us here, well, certainly I can speak for myself, I didn't know the councilors got longevity pay. I knew it was a thing for, you know, long tenured employees, but I didn't think that elected officials would be eligible for that because it's not like you got hired at a job. See, if you get hired at a job, especially a city job, where chances are you could be making more money with the same skill set in the private sector, but you're choosing to work for the public, and for different reasons. Sometimes people do it because they want to give back to their community. Sometimes people do it because it's a much better benefit and retirement package. They do it for the pension. So I can see where, you know, you're making that sacrifice on a weekly basis with making a little bit less to have that security later on in life. And it's why I told my son when he was like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do for a living. I was like, well, you know, don't be afraid to get a job, you know, working for the city where you live, or any city or town, because it's a pretty good gig and they take care of you. So if you don't want to have to worry about, you know, your future, that's a good way to do it. You just might struggle a little bit because it's not going to pay as well. But the longevity pay, I didn't think would be something that counselors would get because they were elected into those positions. You know, as long as the employees, city employees, are doing a good job, it's their choice to stay. And so they're rewarded for choosing to stay. Counselors have to be voted in by the people every 2 years. It does, you know, they still have to do a good job in order to do that. But it doesn't equate in my mind. But if you had told me they get longevity pay, I wouldn't have been like, that's ridiculous. I would have just said, okay. But apparently the issue here was that they were getting it, and the Mitchell administration determined that they shouldn't have been. And so they decided not to pay it out last year. And as a result, Councilor Morad and Councilor Giesta were trying to get a motion going at the end of last year, right after this happened, to try to get the council to approve longevity pay for the city council. So this source went to Chris McCarthy and told him about this. And Chris brought it to the airwaves, and people were outraged. They were outraged that the councilors would, you know, want to get this money. And no matter what you feel about that, either way, you know, it still became a topic of conversation for quite a while. Eventually, the source that came to Chris McCarthy revealed themselves to be Ward 1 Counselor Leo Shaquette. Now, of course, Chris knew that it was Leo. He was just protecting the person that told him that information. The only reason we know it was Leo is because Leo came forward. And apparently, this was something that I didn't know, or maybe this was something that I'd forgotten, but before the infamous text message that Councilor Morad sent out, which is kind of what sparked a lot of this, she had also sent an email as well. She sent the email at the end of December to try to get counselors on board with, you know, looking for other sponsors for this motion for longevity pay. And then the text message came about when Chris McCarthy started talking about it, and she wanted to know who it was that was feeding him information. And so there's a man named Patrick Higgins who considers himself to be a watchdog for open meeting law violations, and he filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office that he believed that they were in violation of the open meeting law. Now, we had put that out as a possibility when we were discussing this. In fact, the story that I wrote, and where Leo revealed himself to be the source, I had quotes from Councilor Morad in which she explained why she didn't think it was a violation of the open meeting law. This was not a deliberation, and this was not city business. This was like, you know, if a counselor... See, here's the thing where people get confused about the open meeting law. They think that if six or more counselors, because it takes six to constitute a quorum on an 11-person board, if six or more counselors get together, that's not a violation of the open meeting law. If all 11 counselors decide, and we went through this when they were doing their monthly restaurant visits, which went away pretty quick, or at least the publicity for them did. But when they decided to hold these restaurant visits, which, you know, was an idea used to support businesses. But when they were doing these, the concern was, okay, well, they're getting together. It's a quorum. But they maintained they weren't discussing city business. They were just going out and colleagues having dinner. And if you've ever gone out to dinner with colleagues, I'm sure there's been plenty of times that you've said, no. We're not discussing work tonight. This is just about having fun. This is about anything other than work. And I honestly believe that these were 11 adults are capable of doing that. But others felt like, Jack Spillane, for example, felt like it didn't sit right. But if six counselors decide to go out for a beer or drinks of any kind, it's not a violation of the open meeting law. It's only a violation of the open meeting law if they discuss anything that's supposed to be city business. It's the basic, there's a little bit more of a drill down to that. It has to be deliberation and blah, blah, blah. And there's a whole thing. You can read it in the story that I put up last night at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. There's a link to the whole ruling by the Attorney General's office that explains what constitutes an open meeting law violation. It's a lot of definition and legalese that I'm not going to get into now. But the Councilor Morehead maintained that that's not what was happening in either the email or the text message. The Attorney General's office didn't see it that way. And they gave their explanations. You can read that in the story. But basically what they said was, this was city business that was being done. And that was, it went a little bit beyond just the, hey, we're going to, let's make a plan to talk about this. The council, so their attorney, David Garatowski, was saying that, arguing that we're just basically setting an agenda without setting the agenda. We're basically saying, like, hey, we're going to talk about this. Hey, we're planning about this. And that they're saying it's okay to say we're going to talk about this. We didn't actually start the conversation about it. And the AG's office acknowledged nobody replied to this email. So there was no back and forth discussion of it. But according to this ruling, I can boil it down for you like this. One counselor sends a text message out to the other 10 counselors that says Merry Christmas. Totally fine. One counselor sends a text to all the other 10 counselors and says, let's wish, this counselor a happy birthday. And everybody replies and says happy birthday and, hope you have a chocolate cake and all that kind of stuff. All of that, totally fine. But it's because they brought in what is described as something that is within their jurisdiction, which is this motion, then that becomes a problem. So as part of this decision, the Attorney General's office ruled, and this, by the way, was decided by Elizabeth Carnes Flynn, or might be Carnes. Elizabeth Carnes Flynn, the Assistant Attorney General from the Division of Open Government. And this was sent to Attorney Garatowski. This was sent to Council President Burgo, City Clerk Dennis Farias, and Patrick Higgins, the man behind the Open Meeting Law Enforcer website. And in this, the conclusion was, we order the council and Councilor Morehead's immediate and future compliance with the open meeting law and caution that similar future violations may be considered evidence of an intent to violate the law. So they're basically saying, like, we believe that there wasn't an intentional violation here. There's no fines or anything associated with this. That we believe that this was not an intentional act. But if you do it again, where you've been warned, we will consider that an intentional act. It says, additionally, we order the council to publicly release the text message and the December 26, 2024 email. So it would be the email talking about putting this motion together and the text message trying to find the sleaze, to use Councilor Morehead's word. We order the council to publicly release the text message and the December 26 email within 30 days of receipt of this determination. The council may publicly release the text message and email by reading their content during a meeting and listing the text message and email in the meeting minutes, or by referencing the text message and email during a meeting and posting them along with the meeting minutes on the municipal website. Either way, that's not going to be a fun experience for Councillor Moran when it comes to the text message. And listen, I don't have, I'm not anti-Linda Morad, as some callers may be. I find her to be, of course, she's got her own style. But I find her to be someone who, when she believes something, when she feels something, she stands by it. And so she obviously felt that, you know, someone was going against the family, to use their own terminology. But I would say that because this was the action of one counselor, really, that cast this light on the entire council, I would say the right thing to do would be, if they have to enter it into the meeting minutes, if it has to be read aloud during a city council meeting, she's got to be the one to do it. I think putting it on Dennis Farias to say, you can read this, you know, we asked the clerk to read this, to enter it into the record, I just feel like he shouldn't have to be the one to do that. So I asked Council President Burgo if he wanted to make a statement and what the plan was to try to get that entered into the record. And he said, while I have not yet had the opportunity to fully discuss the decision with legal counsel, I remain committed to transparency. At this point, the email and text reference and the determination have already been widely circulated in the media and on social platforms, so their substance is no longer new to the public, which is true, although not everybody listens to WBSM. Not everybody reads our content. He says, it's also important to note that since this incident occurred, our city clerk has already implemented new procedures to ensure that similar issues do not arise in the future. Both our council staff and the city council as a whole are committed to keeping the public informed and engaged in their local government, and we will continue working to strengthen that trust. And I think that part of the issue here is that the council might just be a little bit too cavalier about what might be seen as open meeting law violation. You know, like, I just think they took things for granted. Like, of course, we're getting together for dinner to support a local business. Of course, it's fine. But if people are already looking to find fault in what you're doing, you've got to be more transparent about it. And that's what Council President Burgo is talking about here, being more transparent about it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I'm late for a break. Let me take that. When we come back from the break, we'll get today's news from Mike Roberts, and then we can talk with you. Stick around.
An officer-involved shooting in Pennsylvania. Close call with Air Force One, and Jimmy Kimmel suspended.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Three police officers are dead, two wounded, after an officer-involved shooting in York County, Pennsylvania.
It happened just after 2 p.m. local time on a farm in North Codorus Township, 9 miles southwest of York. The five police officers were investigating a domestic complaint when a gunman opened fire. Three cops were killed, the two others reportedly in critical condition.
This is an absolutely tragic and devastating day for York County and for the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Governor Josh Shapiro speaking at a Wednesday evening news conference. The Pennsylvania State Police Commissioner says police returned gunfire, hitting and killing the shooter. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
A close call in the sky on Tuesday morning involving a Spirit Airline jet and Air Force One. An air traffic controller in New York didn't like how close the Boston-bound Spirit flight was flying to the plane that was carrying President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump to the UK.
Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right, vector traffic and descent. Pay attention, Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right. Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right now. Spirit Wings 1300, turn 20 degrees right immediately.
You could hear the air traffic controller complaining about having to relay instructions twice, repeatedly admonishing the pilot to pay attention. An investigation is underway. The memorial service for Charlie Kirk will see President Trump and Vice President Vance both deliver remarks. Kirk's widow, Erica, will also speak, along with Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The service will be held Sunday at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Tropical storm Gabrielle has formed in the Atlantic Ocean. It is not expected to pose a threat to the U.S. However, National Hurricane Center in Miami warning of very heavy downpours over the Cabo Verde Islands. This puts an end to an uncommon period of about 3 weeks of no storms in the middle of peak hurricane season. The Federal Reserve is cutting interest rates for the first time in 9 months. Chair Jerome Powell made the announcement yesterday.
In support of our goals and in light of the shift in the balance of risks, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to lower our policy interest rate by a quarter percentage point.
A majority of policymakers say that they want two more rate cuts this year. President Trump says the bond between the U.S. and the U.K. is unbreakable. He spoke at a state banquet hosted by the King of England at Windsor Castle in London yesterday.
Your Majesty, Melania and I are deeply grateful to you and Queen Camilla for your extraordinary graciousness. And to William and Kate, thank you so much. It's been so great being with you today.
King Charles says he cherishes the close ties between the British and American people. Earlier in the day, the Trumps took part in a carriage procession through the Windsor Estate with King Charles, Queen Camilla, and the Prince and Princess of Wales. They also visited the tomb of the late Queen Elizabeth II and laid a wreath at St. George's Chapel. ABC has announced it's taking Jimmy Kimmel's show off the air for the foreseeable future, following comments about the killing of Charlie Kirk.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from.
In his monologue on Monday night, Kimmel raised the possibility the alleged assassin of Kirk, Tyler Robinson, might have been a pro-Trump Republican. It's unclear when or if Kimmel's show will go back on the air.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox 5, Athletics 4 in 10 innings at Fenway last night. Both teams back at it this afternoon at 1:35.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good Thursday morning. More patchy fog, some clouds around, and a stray shower or two after a soggy end to our Wednesday. We're not totally done with the rain just yet. That said, showers are few and far between this morning, and they clear out by the afternoon here for the South Coast as low pressure moves off to the east. First, the showers go, then the clouds start to clear out as well. Temperatures this afternoon into the low to mid-70s. Pretty comfy for this time of year, especially with the late day sunshine. Not a bad end of our Thursday to get outside. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Come in, buy it just to stay in the click. So don't delay, act now, supplies are running out.
And welcome back in. Sorry, I'm trying to avoid having to clear my throat on the air. I keep trying to drink coffee and water to get it all out. But we're getting there. I have to speak on Sunday for 45 minutes straight, so I'm hoping that my voice holds out. Otherwise, you'll have to hear me like this. Nobody likes that at all. So we were talking about the city council being in violation of the open meeting law. You can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, including the entire filing, the entire report, from the State Attorney General's office, where they explain all of this. But we'll see where it goes from there. I'm taking a look at this thing that I'm seeing kicking around social media. And I'm trying to go back and see where it might have originated from. It's in a Facebook group, a town Facebook group in Middleborough. And as you know, I'm involved in a lot of the local town groups because that's where we get news. That's where we disseminate news. And it's where we can, usually it's where you can reach people when you're trying to find out information about something. It's the social media equivalent to actually just going into the town and knocking on doors, which is what reporters used to have to do back in the day. We don't have the time and the manpower to do that. So instead, you can utilize social media as a way to network people and say, hey, I saw, that there's, this great story about, somebody who saved somebody's life. And we're trying to get a total. Do you know that person? Can you help us out? And so that's kind of how we're able to do that these days. So I'm involved in all these town groups as a result of that. And in this Middleborough group, someone posted an announcement that they say is from St. Mary's Cemetery in Middleborough. And it says, all Halloween decorations, including scarecrows, need to be removed immediately. They will be removed and discarded by management without notice the week of September 22nd. Thank you. So according to this post, and again, I don't see anything on a St. Mary's Cemetery page. Looks like that Facebook page has not been updated since 2022. Ironically, with a Halloween post. But they do have other statements on there about, if decorations aren't removed by a certain day, not pertaining to Halloween, but other holidays. And I was trying to see if there was anything specific about previous Halloweens. I don't see anything there, with a cursory scroll. But people are losing their minds in the comments on this. Because they're saying, hey, I want to decorate for my family members who are buried there. I want to be able to go there and put some Halloween decorations up. And now, this is a Catholic cemetery. This is also a private cemetery being, associated with a church. This is not a municipal cemetery. And we've dealt with this before where people have taken issue with some of the rules and restrictions that are put on about what decorations can be put up. So as you can imagine, there are folks who are saying, hey, I paid for my family member's plot. I should be able to decorate it if I want. And other folks are reminding them, well, technically the land is still owned by the cemetery. You don't own the land. Otherwise, you'd be paying taxes on that land, wouldn't you? You don't own the land. You just have the right to burial. You're paying for the right to burial on that land. So the back and forth conversation that's going on there is very interesting. I'm going to see if I can get a chance to find out exactly what they mean by this, because my guess is, people are probably putting large decorative items there. They specifically mentioned scarecrows. Scarecrow is a pretty large thing. If somebody's going down there and putting a little pumpkin instead of some flowers,
you know, that might be seen as different as opposed to somebody who's putting a 6-foot skeleton. And so I think, you know, there's probably more to the story here if this is a legitimate request from the cemetery. And I'll see what I can find out. But what do you think about that? What are your thoughts on decorating? And not just for Halloween either, but you've got people who want to go for Christmas, for, I guess, you know, any holiday really. They'd want to go and decorate. I'm not going to count putting a flag up for Memorial Day. That's always a little bit different. But it's, I think, as usual, I think there's probably more to the story than just what's being posted on social media. 508-996-0500. Can I take this call before? I do have to take a break, but I'll take the call first. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. As far as this regulation is going, it may sound weird, and I know you're biased toward Halloween, and don't take that the wrong way. It just is what it is. But cemeteries also have to do fall cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have to blow the leaves and everything away from the gravestones as part of that fall cleanup. Now, the issue that has come up before, with people complaining that the stuff has to get moved, the, you know, these regulations change, but would you rather have the gravestone covered in 2 feet of leaves?
Well, and the other part,
you know,
of it too is,
people would complain about it, huh?
I said the other part of it too is I think people don't understand either that a lot of times when cemeteries are talking about removing these decorations, it's not because somebody went down and put a pumpkin on there. It's because some people go down there and they put like 300 things on the grave. So
right. And, yeah, put spider webs, you mm-hmm. know, sticking 3 feet out and this and that. One, you can't get a mower through there. Two, you can't blow the leaves in the fall cleanup without destroying the whole thing anyways. And then people are going to complain about that. So, you know, people just kind of have to roll with the punches because you're right. The Catholic Church owns that property. Up to a certain point, you know, you got the stones all yours, or you're departed, but the land belongs to who owns the cemetery.
Also, when you buy the plot, there's I'm sure in the agreements all kinds of things that state that, you know, so you technically agreed to that when you purchased the plot.
Right, exactly. So there's some give and take on it. People kind of, you know. But so that's where I stand on that. What I've got on my mind after this past weekend and everything is the free speech as it relates to public employees expressing unsavory opinions online, because we're seeing a lot of that happening. And I'm wondering what your take is on it.
I've never really been a fan of policing what people do kind of off the clock. So, and that, you know, that goes for no matter what it is that you're posting. I mean, I remember when social media started to become a big thing where people were getting fired for posting pictures of themselves drinking at a party, you know, like, right. I think that I've never been a fan of that. If you come in and you do the job and you adhere to the rules of the job and you do a good job while you're there, what you do in your private time shouldn't matter. But I know that the sentiment has kind of changed over time that even when you're out there, you are a representative of the company. Or the organization or whoever it may be. And so there you have to conduct yourself in a different manner.
Gotcha. There are arguments that I've been seeing, and it's exhausting going through it. And you probably spend a whole lot more time online than I do. Scouring these things, like you said, scouring things for stories. But it's the argument is that, well, these people, yeah, like you said, these people are allowed their free speech. It's just speech. They should be able to say whatever they want to say, no matter how hateful it is. Well, you know what? If you turn that around, Charlie Kirk just got shot in the neck for expressing an opinion. So he certainly suffered consequences, and part of that is, you know, people say that, well, yeah, you have free speech, but you're not free from suffering the consequences.
Yeah, but that's not a good equivalency, because that consequence is something that shouldn't have happened. So you can't say, well, you know, Charlie Kirk paid for his free speech and so should you, when your comparison to that is that he got killed.
Certainly different degrees, because getting fired from a job or getting let go is certainly different from getting shot in the neck. There are different degrees.
Well, one thing was done by a person that was clearly disturbed. The other is a decision that's made of a sound mind. And so you can't really equate the two things.
That's debatable. Because they're both they're both coming from the same place. If somebody advocates for the death of somebody else, that might just mean that they're too cowardly to do it themselves, but they're happy somebody else did it so they didn't have to.
Well, but the same token, are there degrees of this? Or one thing that I'm not seeing in this is in all this conversation, is an actual deliberation over what was said. It's just, this was said, you're out of here. And so is there a difference between saying something like, for example, somebody that I know in the paranormal world is getting quote unquote canceled because he said, I don't feel anything about Charlie Kirk's death. And so now people are like, whoa, what a horrible person. He said he doesn't feel it. No, if you've never seen or watched a Robert Redford movie and you don't care about Robert Redford when he passed away, you don't feel anything by Robert Redford's death. What does that mean?
That's a fairly benign opinion.
But
the fallout from it, though? Did he create a firestorm with his, people on?
Well, people pushed to him, he pushed back. But that was kind of the basis of that, was him basically saying, I don't feel anything. I don't agree with his positions and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. There's a difference between saying, I don't care that somebody died, and saying that this person should be killed. Like, there's a wide gap between those two things, and I don't think that people are, and of course, because emotion comes into it, it's so fresh and it's a horrible thing that happened. So I think that there's a little bit of clarity that later on, people are going to look back and say, maybe that was a little bit of an overreaction. Not across the board, I mean, but on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to watch happen right now, because we know the definition of free speech. And we went through this back in 2000. The definition of free speech, between hate speech and free speech is free speech is free. All speech is free until the point where it instigates or threatens others. So I think that maybe people may be kind of crossing the line in instigating others with, well, I'm glad he's dead. Okay. I mean, well, again, the consequence of that speech starting a firestorm with people and getting people upset, that's better than getting shot in the neck, losing your job, and I've lost jobs before too. I'll leave it at that. Just getting the brain juices flowing this morning. You enjoy the rest of your day, Tim.
You as well. Take care. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut it off there while you were speaking. That's one of the things that is kind of... See, that's... I get it. I want to be understanding of why people get upset about some of the things that are being said. Totally understand that. And like I said, I didn't know Charlie Kirk, never engaged with him. As I said, the only contact that I was going to have was I was going to have him, record some liners for us. I never got around to it. But I never engaged with him, didn't know him personally, only know about him what I've seen online, read from stuff that he's said and written over the years and heard on his radio show. So, but I look at it from, he's still part of our WBSM family. And I understand that people are, they're taking this especially personally because it really feels especially heinous. But there's some statements that people are making that people, I think, are, you know, reading too much into or getting too upset about, that it may not be as... There's a difference between somebody who posts up, well, if somebody else didn't kill him, I would have done it, so I'm glad somebody beat me to it. Or, you know, like, that's different than saying, you know, if you posted no big loss, that's an opinion. That is not hate speech. That is not threatening anybody else. That is not harming anybody else. It's still, you know, not a good thing to say. But I don't think that that falls under these parameters of where you have to say to somebody, well, you deserve to lose your job or, you know, get canceled or whatever it is that you want to put on that. And that's why I think some of these things that have been happening are a little bit overreaction. I've had this conversation off the air with a friend who said, you know, what do you think? And this, it was in regards to the paranormal community. What do you think of all these people who are putting out their opinions now? And I say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because no matter what you say, you're going to piss off somebody. You're not going to change anybody's mind. And you're only going to cause problems for yourself one way or the other. And I'm never one of those people that says it's better to just stay silent. But you're trying to make what you feel is a logical statement in your mind in a place where isn't logic going on right now. Don't step into a hornet's nest intentionally. And I, you know, and people are going to call up and say, oh, Tim, I thought you were one of the people that was going to push for this kind of stuff. And, you know, when people fall silent, that's when, you know, fascism takes place and all. Like, listen, no. Take a breath. Wait. You can have your opinions, but you got to be careful about when you put them out. And the rush in to make these comments is where people have gotten into trouble. I'm saying that because I've seen things that people have posted that have invoked the ire of people that if they had just posted it a month later, I think would have been taken a different way. It's not remotely the same, but it reminds me of, you know, Gilbert Gottfried when he made the joke about the 9/11 bombers right after 9/11. And he ended up losing his job with Aflac for a joke. That, or you know, even Bill Maher, who lost his TV show for basically saying, hey, you can call those bombers whatever you want, but you can't call them cowards. And so that caused him to lose his livelihood over basically just saying, you know, what he felt was a factual statement, not an opinion. So, I don't know. It's a dangerous slope, and we've heard so many people railing about cancel culture for so many years, it seems odd that now those people are the ones that are pushing it. And I think in the end, people are going to feel terrible about things that they might have said at this time. I think people are going to feel terrible about how they might have taken things that other people have said because it's just an emotional moment. And you got to get through that emotional moment before you can have logical discussions about things. All right. Anyway, I got to take a break here. I'm late for it. We'll be right back. All right. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment. We're going to get the ABC News with all the national headlines. We'll get the local news with Mike Roberts after that. And then, of course, we can take more of your phone calls. 508-996-0500. Your app chat message.